this podcast series, we're not just trying to change Africa's narrative. We are changing it because Africa leads, Africa excels, and Africa inspires. The focus on our continent's poverty, inequality, violence, and lack of development is definitely out of sync. When you compare it to other continents who have the same, but also we hear voices and see images of growth, development of economic and emerging markets, all leading to investment and ultimate self-reliance. So help me welcome guests from Africa and all over the world invested in the rising of Africa. The time for Africa's rising is now. The world has no choice but to let us rise because, as the youngest of all people, we are the future of the world. So, from Africa to the world, this is Yavi Madure.
What are some of the things that you are doing to fast track? Because, you know, the problem, though, I don't know, you know, from your perspective, but I know from a Pan-African perspective, is that some of the questions that we're getting as PABWA is, but the AfCFTA came into effect on the 1st of January. Why are we not able to use it? So just give us some insight into some of your fast-tracking initiatives or processes that you're undertaking to ensure the quicker that Nigerians can get into utilizing the AfCFTA, the better. But what are some of the things that you and the government is doing, you know, to fast track it so that you can start using it that much quicker?
I think first is we cannot take away the impact of the awareness angle to AfCFTA. So regardless of how much leadership at the top understands what AfCFTA mean and the impact it will generate, the key actors that will ensure that it's successful are the users of the platform that has been created. So first is the issue of awareness is very, very critical, and that has to be driven as fast as possible to the fact that a local woman seeking somewhere in Accra, Ghana, selling walnuts or whatever, to understand how AfCFTA benefits her, all right? And then we now begin to translate into the productivity. So we cannot ignore the productive capacity of our businesses and institutions too. So therefore, a big business or investor in any sector, for example, require a clear understanding and a direct participation in the development of industry regulations as relevant to AfCFTA. Because it's very key to strategically positioning the business to getting involved, or once negotiations are even completed and the pool and the protocols move into operations. Because some of the areas that have not been completed, we also require to be engaging with the right agencies or the right institution that have been mandated to drive those negotiations. So asking questions are very important. And for small businesses, for me, collaborations and strategic partnerships is what we have been pushing, which will provide the edge and give MSMEs, for example, a chance to embed themselves with these values or with the value chains and maximize opportunity. You cannot do it as a small business, but you guys can come together as a pool and then have the right volume, then push that. Because this will allow MSMEs to mobilize and leverage resources for collective benefit, collective beneficial growth. Example is, you know, there's in Nigeria called the Agroala Business Group. I mean, regardless of the fact that some of us are competitors within that group, but we also know what is strategic for us to move forward. AfCFTA is not owned by any country in Africa. It is a demand synthesizing tool that then means that whoever is competitive and is ready to play, the market is there for you to play. And when I mean competition, it also means that it must address all of the things that enable you to produce at a cost that makes sense, a cost that gives you the advantage over others. And you must always ensure that the quality. So regardless of producing the highest volume, your goods may not be relevant within the AfCFTA committee if it does not meet the right quality. And again, we're also encouraging other African countries that have signed up to this, that being a brother's keeper, the reason why country A will sign into ASCFTA is because is because that country trusts the other party to be his or her brother's keeper. So when issue of illicit trading or dumping is happening, you can easily report that to the secretariat or take it up through the dispute resolution processes.
So let's look at it from the perspective of, you know, in terms of, there is, you've spoken about awareness, you've spoken about, you know, all the different initiatives and programs that is being implemented. And you've spoken about, you know, what are you doing to fast track this implementation to be able to get it off the ground that much quicker. Let's flip the script a little bit. You know, Nigeria is the largest economy in Africa. It's burgeoning every day. There's all kinds of things happening in different from different perspectives that are happening from a Nigerian aspect. Just tell me, you know, when you look at it as advisor to from a trade and industry perspective in terms of Nigeria, what are some of the key things that you believe that there are business opportunities or have full benefit in terms of the AFCFTA?
Okay, so I'll start from the overall benefit of AFCFTA. Nigeria as a mono, where it was, or a mono product economy, of course, which heavily relied on natural wealth as against produced wealth. That obviously posed a lot of economic shocks to Africa or Nigeria and in other countries within Africa that are also driven from this perspective. That volatility in price of the natural wealth essentially resulted in the fact that the budget that we typically, the revenue we typically generate to meet our budget expenditures are always having serious shortfalls. And so with the AFCFTA comes the need to diversify our base. So export-based diversification is one of the major benefits that AFCFTA has provided. Two, from a very also a broader perspective, preferential access to African markets, especially for the informal traders, the youth population, who are engaged heavily in informal trading. This is an opportunity to come in a very, very structured angle, get all the right benefit from AFCFTA, collaborate, and then export and get a huge numbers or revenue from the product and services that you offer. Thirdly, is market expansion opportunity for goods and services. Because of the AFCFTA with platform that it has provided, you can set up in other countries across Africa. It can be based on your cost of production. It can be based on where you have the cheapest source of raw material. It can be based on where you have the cheapest labor. It can be based on where you have the swiftest route to market or route to export, route to certification and all of that. It can be based on that. And it can be based on where you have the capacity, the competence to deliver on whatever you're producing. Again, the boost to backward integration or local value chain addition is another very, very important element that this helps to amplify. And then that will obviously boost employment. Because for somebody that is in garment, only focusing on garment alone, for example, when you then get the right demand across Africa, then you see that the value chain from the textile to the cutting angle will then begin to develop. Because when you have the market, then investors want to come in into the to developing the raw material that you need to produce the garment. Then value chain expansion, the backward integration expansion. You can import from other countries, but gradually you begin to develop your own competence and capacity to do that. Again, opportunity to consolidate hubs from the services perspective, you know, rendering services that are not that you do not have the comparative advantage to other countries within Africa at a cost, obviously with AFCFTA, giving you a cost that also makes sense and justifiable for your service that you render. And productivity growth in terms of competition and specialization. Then you then also begin to find people, because we are now developing value chain as against just the primary production and shipping out. And of course, in a much more granularized perspective, I'll take it from, I've spoken to that, but I'll take it from three perspectives now. I'm using Nigeria as a case study. The size of the Nigeria market, the supply chain, and the increase in job market. Nigeria has, like what you said, Nigeria has the largest economy and population in Africa, with more than $500 billion in GDP and a population of over 200 million people. The market size, allow manufacturers to increase capacity and expand into other African countries. This enables, obviously, investors to benefit not only from Nigeria markets, but from other countries on the continent as well. And to put in context, some other countries globally, because their production costs are on the rise, they are also looking for environment where they can produce competitively, looking for a cost areas that provide them that discount in terms of cost of production, and also using that access to then sell to other African countries. So to put in context, Nigeria contributes, just looking at Nigeria, for example, contributes over estimately 76% of the total trading volume in ECOWAS region. This is made possible because of the ECOWAS Treaty, which provides for the free movement of people and goes through 15 West African countries. So the AfCFTA grants access to 54 countries with a population of 1.2 billion and a market worth so combined 2.6 trillion. This obviously, you know that from the size of the market, this is an opportunity for people. I'll go back to using saying that AfCFTA is a demand sensitizing tool. On the second perspective, the supply chain infrastructure, producers and retailers expanding their operations to other markets who depend on a distribution network that can efficiently deliver goods to their intended markets.